So before I sort of kick off with the talk this evening, there's two things I just want to share with people. Firstly, to congratulate Johnny and Bina, who've just got engaged. There you are. Isn't that fantastic? So congratulations. That's fantastic news. It took you long enough, but it's well worth the wait. So well done. It's fantastic, and I'm absolutely delighted for both of you. It's just wonderful news. And then I also want to thank Paul Donnan, who's been leading worship in this church for probably, 10 years now, probably? 10 years. And this evening is his last time leading worship here. But we want to firstly want to thank Paul for being such a great guy. And secondly, we've been so blessed over the years to have people of his caliber leading worship in this church. And I want to say thank you very sincerely for all you've done, for the way you've helped develop the worship here, and just for being just it's just been great having you doing what you do. So thank you so much. Really appreciate it. So this evening, time's flying, so I'm probably going to have to do an introduction, an example, and then communion, because time is on its way, but that's fine. The theme that I was going to speak on this evening is that God is on the way, that God is wanting to prepare a people for a visitation of God. And Jesus in Matthew 24 says this. He says, "Therefore, keep watch. You do not know the day or hour when he returns." So God is calling us to be watchful, to be waiting, to be observing, you know, when God is going to return. And John the Baptist came onto the scene with the message of this. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is near." So when John the Baptist came in Matthew 3, he came to prepare the people for the coming of God. And this evening, I'm just going to unpack a little bit about what that means and what that message is. And you see, the people of God were waiting for the Messiah to come. The people of God are waiting for God to come and liberate the people. There's an expectation that God was on the way. And so when John the Baptist began to preach in the desert, people were thinking, "Oh my gosh, can you hear? God is on the way. There's a preparation going on. There's something happening in the desert." So people flocked by hundreds and hundreds of people went out to him to hear the message, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near," or "the kingdom of heaven is near." And in this declaration, John the Baptist is saying this: "The kingdom of God is not far from each one of us." The implication is this: that the kingdom of God is at hand, the kingdom of God is close, the kingdom of God is near. And because of this, the response, the place of preparation is in God's people repenting, because the holiness of God is near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. God is near. God is on the way. The holiness of God is coming. And I was looking at the whole idea of holiness. And holiness, when we look at it, I was just thinking about this. The holiness that's portrayed by the church and religious leaders seems to be very different from the holiness that God portrayed to us. See, Jesus was the most holy person, God, to ever walk the earth. But prostitutes and tax collectors felt comfortable around him. His presence didn't repel them, it drew them in. Jesus was attractional. He gathered the sinners around him. And you see, Jesus' holiness was always moving towards the darkness. It was bringing his light into a dark, dark world. And God's posture towards man is this. It says in Romans, the kindness of God leads to repentance. See, there's no condemnation in Christ. God wants to reach out to each one of us because the kingdom of God is near each one of us. And in Isaiah 42, it says this. Sorry, not 42, in I lost it. He says this, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall be made level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And you see, God wants to remove every obstacle out of our way. He wants the ground to be level so that we can enter in to the good things of God. And so it's really important for us as a church to remove the obstacles out of the way of the people encountering Jesus. And we talked about this morning, and I don't want to make a criticism of the church, because we're all part of the church. We're all part of the obstacles of people coming into this place and any place. But what's happened in the church is that we've created a place where we're so distant from God that we cannot enter into his wonderful relationship through his holiness. That often we have the priest down that end, and we have the choir, and it goes on and on and on. And it's very difficult for us to actually recognize that God has come for us. But it's the kindness of God, it's God's posture before us and towards us, that God wants to show us that he cares about us. And so I'm just going to illustrate this story. I was out in Fiji, which is a wonderful place, and I was out there a few years ago. And I went to work with a guy called Sanela, who was an ex-prisoner. And he'd been in the prison out there for a good few years, and he met with Jesus, and his life had been transformed. And his ministry was ministering to the prisoners, and he used to go in there and used to provide sort of artwork and all that kind of stuff. He used to provide sort of paper, pens, all that kind of stuff. But he also would begin to tell the people about his testimony, tell people about what Jesus had done in his life. And out of that, he began to build a relationship and build favor with those within these prisons. And because of that, he was invited back into the prison that he'd been a prisoner. And he invited me to come and work alongside him. So when I began working alongside him, we first went to the local prison. And in this local prison, people were in there for things like not paying debts. It was kind of a low-level prison, so you kind of met different people who, it wasn't particularly that serious, but they'd been there for a couple of weeks, in there for a month, etc. It wasn't much harder than that. And so I began to get some other prisons there. And then I went to another kind of a middle-of-the-road prison where you kind of went up another level. And then finally, I got invited to go to the maximum security prison, which was this prison on the top of a hill. And it's one of those kind of places you looked at and you thought, oh my gosh, why on earth would you want to go there? And I was quite nervous about it to start with. And he said to me, he just explained about what was happening in the prison and how God was moving in that place. And so he invited me one day. So we went towards the prison together. And it's quite an intimidating place. And we came to the gates. I mean, we were met by the guards. We went through one space, into another space, into another space. Then we went into a room with glass panels. And then we had to wait there. And then when we had been in that place, we were then taken by the guards through a courtyard into another room. We had to unlock a door, go in there, and sat down at a table. And when we entered the prison, the thing about the prison was, even though it's completely silent in the space there, the walls were overwhelming. It's almost like a real loud, you know, very, very oppressive in this place. And so we're sitting at the table. And as I was sitting there, we were waiting for the prisoners to come and visit. And as I sat there, a guy walked into the room. And he must have been about, you know, most people are taller than me, but he was particularly taller than me. He must have been about 6'2" or something. And he was a guy who had two of his front teeth missing. He had these piercing blue eyes. He had tattoos all over him. He had a big chain around his neck here. He had muscles rippling here and here. And he had tattoos absolutely everywhere. And if I hadn't been in the prison, I thought, oh my gosh, who's this guy here? And as I stood up to meet him, he said to me, he goes, it's such a privilege for you coming to meet with me from all over, from the other side of the world. I can't believe that you come and visit me in prison. And as I looked at him, I began to see in his eyes this incredible peace. As I began to look at him, I just saw the presence of God upon this person. As I began to look at him, I felt the Lord say to me, I brought you here to learn about me through him. And so I said to him, I said, it's just such a privilege to meet with you. And we began, and as I began standing there, he came and he gave me this massive hug and he held me like this. And I felt in this man, I just felt the presence of the Lord is in this person, and I just felt God's love, just incredible. And it reminded me of the kindness of God that leads to repentance. This man had a broken life. This man had been, it will be probably still in prison as we speak now. This is probably 10 years ago. And I've seen in this man how God has transformed him by the power of God. And it's this message that Jesus speaks to you and me tonight. It's the message of the good news of the kingdom. It's not repent, get away from me, you know, I don't want you near me. It's repent, turn around, because I want to embrace you. I want to release so much blessing upon you and upon your life. And I think that we have to learn more and more that it's God's kindness that changes us, and we respond in a different way. This morning we had a couple here in the church who just become Christians. They're a couple from the flats. And on the 17th of December, she was in St. James's Hospital. She had complete organ failure in her body. She'd been resuscitated 4 times and had nearly died. And over the last few years, Paddy and the guys from Kids Club have been going back and forth along her, where she lives, knocking on her door, getting to know her, getting to know her kids. And she said that often she'd lock the door because they knew the Kids Club guys were coming around, and they should hide in there and say they'd knock on the door and pretend that she wasn't there. But she knew when she was in a situation of great need that there were people out there who cared about her. And it's that kindness and care that she has shown to her that has caused her to say, actually, I want to follow Jesus. And we had her this morning testifying that she has now can't become a friend of Jesus. She's turned her life around. She's repented of her past. And she's now embracing a new day. And she's there with her boyfriend who they're going to get married in the near future. Her father died 2 weeks ago. There's many things going on in her family, but she's beginning to see the kindness of God in her life. And she's beginning to see the power of God to change her and to begin to change her community. And she said to me that her mum's really looking forward to coming along. She's beginning to get friends. She wants to come along because she's seen the goodness and kindness of God. And that's what I love about Jesus. Jesus came, he came to be amongst us. He was the holiest of holies to walk amongst us. But he didn't reject us, he embraced us, he reached out towards us. And he wants to reach out towards us this evening. And so when we look at repentance, we're recognizing that we need to turn around from our sinful ways. We need to confess the sin that's in our lives and to choose to live for God. But to be totally honest, the lives before meeting Jesus were pretty crap, weren't they? And God wants to turn our lives around. God has a future and plan for everybody here. Because God is not far from each one of us, because the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. The holiness of God moves towards our darkness and brings his light. God's posture towards us is not one of distance and rejection, it's one of kindness and relationship. And that's what he is extending his hand out to each one of us here this evening. And part of us, as we celebrate communion in a minute, is reminding of what God has done for us upon the cross. It's an incredible invitation. It's incredible what God has done, that he would lay his life down for you and me upon the cross. He would shed his blood for us to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we can be a friend of God. It doesn't get much better than that. And God doesn't only reveal himself to us, he walks this journey out with us. And I know that we all go through difficult times, we go through challenging times. But the wonderful thing is that God is with us and God is alongside us. And we want to remember that this evening. And we're going to just take a moment just to just remember what Christ has done for us. And we have only got a few minutes because time is flying. And so we're going to do it quite a informal communion, but we take it incredibly seriously. We're not doing this in any way lightly because I take very seriously what Christ has done. But I'm going to use, as I did this morning, and Rob kind of took the mick out of me for using the Book of Common Prayer. But there's some wonderful prayers in here that are incredibly articulate, and they enable us to say in words which sometimes it's hard for us to say because they've been thought through over many, many generations, and they've been honed and refined. And the prayers that enable us to enter in and to recognize what Christ has done for us. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a couple of prayers out and let them be our prayers together. And then we're going to share in what Christ has done for us. And then we're going to have a communion together. And this is a wonderful prayer. It's a prayer of preparation. It says this. And so let's this be our prayer. So let's shut our eyes and let's let these words speak. It says, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. And there's this wonderful prayer now that is a prayer of saying that we've come before the Lord saying, I'm sorry for what I've done. But it's a wonderful prayer of restoration. It says this, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you and on me. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness. And keep us in a life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I'm going to go on to one more prayer as we enter into Jesus' words. We say this. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. And so Jesus invites us around a table where he is the head. He invites us to sit with him, but to also remember what he has done for us. Thank you, Lord. And it says, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took a glass of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the signs and symbols of your blood and your body broken for us. And we pray now, dear Jesus, that these will be that in them, Lord, that as we take them to this evening, Lord, that they'll be everything that you intended them to be. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So what I'm going to do is ask us if we could have a couple of people this evening who could distribute the bread and the wine. So we've got the bread here. and the wine here. And what we're going to do is we're going to have two locations. We're going to have one over there and one over there. So if I could ask maybe, or maybe Rob could ask, organize a couple of people, would be brilliant. And so that's great. And maybe another person as well. So if I can give you the bread, that'd be great. There you go, Chloe, there's the wine. Brilliant. And there's the bread pour. And Summer, do you want to do, oh, Summer's going to do the wine. Brilliant. Perfect. Look at that. There you go. That's brilliant. Thank you. Fantastic. So I'm just going to say one more prayer if I can remember it. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you, and feed on him with your hearts with thanksgiving. Amen. And so just to give a bit of direction, the wine's non-alcoholic, so it's everybody can participate. And we believe that everybody should be able to take the bread and the wine because the cross is for everybody. And so if you'd like to take the bread and the wine, please feel free to come forward and do just that. And let's go for it. So we're going to have a final song, but after service, there'll be tea and coffee and things, but one of the things I was, as I was standing here, just feeling that we'd like to pray for people who just feel they need to be strengthened. And that might mean something different for different people, but sometimes we need to have the strength of God. We need to be reminded, we need to be strengthened because we're feeling weak, we're feeling discouraged or whatever. And I just really feel that that's a word for some people here this evening, that God wants to strengthen you. So after we sung this song and had the blessing, I just want to invite people forward who feel they need to be strengthened, because God loves to strengthen us and to encourage us and to build us up. So let's sing our final song. That'd be great.
Stand together. Light of the world, you shall doubt.
Light of the world, we step down into.
light has come upon us, in us, and through us. And Lord, we just thank you that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is near each one of us here. And Lord, you want us to prepare the way in our lives on a continual basis to have that continued relationship with you. We wait for you, Lord, but you're also with us. And Lord, we want to learn to hold that tension, Lord, to be watchful of your coming, but to be to acknowledge of your presence. And Lord, I just want to really pray this evening, Lord, for those here who need to be strengthened, who need to be, that wait on the Lord will be renew their strength. I just want to pray for the renewing of strength this evening, Lord. For those here who just need to be renewed. I just want to really pray now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, as we pray with these people, Lord, will be renewed and strengthened, we pray, Lord. And so, Lord, we want to pray every blessing upon all those here this evening, Lord. We want to pray blessing on our family and friends, Lord. We want to pray blessing for the bank holiday Monday and all that's ahead this week. And we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful invitation you've given each one of us to not only follow you, Lord, that you are only, but you are also our Heavenly Father. And we thank you for that wonderful truth, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you continue to reveal that to each one of us here this evening, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So there's tea and coffee after, but we'd love to pray with anybody who's just that word about being strengthened. We'd love to be prayed with. We'd love to pray with you, because it's important. And other than that, have a wonderful bank holiday Monday, and we'll see you guys soon. So God bless.
We are strong. walking away without tidying up.